Hey y'all, welcome back to the Empowering the Future of Agriculture podcast with me, Carson Osteen. Today, I am joined by the 2024-2025 Tennessee FFA State Secretary, Shelby Wallace. Shelby, if you'd like to introduce yourself, please go ahead.
Hey y'all, my name is Shelby Wallace, like Carson just mentioned, and I'm the current State Secretary for Tennessee FFA, and I'm from McEwen, Tennessee, over in Middle Tennessee. I was raised on a small beef cattle operation over there, and I currently attend the University of Tennessee at Martin, where I am majoring in agricultural education. So I'm super excited to be on this podcast today and to just have a great discussion.
Alrighty, so to start off with, I always like to ask everybody what their FFA journey has looked like over the years. So could you walk us through what your FFA experience or journey has looked like over the years?
Yeah, for sure. So starting out my freshman year, I was kind of a nervous and a shy kid, a lot of people would say. But I walked into my agriscience class and immediately fell in love with agriculture. And my teacher, Mr. Ross, he really pushed me to get involved in the FFA aspect of it. And so I got involved in creed speaking and conduct of chapter meetings. And then I became a chapter officer and everything kind of took off from there. I did a lot of speaking contests, prepared public speaking, parliamentary procedure. That was kind of my jam throughout high school. And then I grew a passion for service and serving the members of Tennessee FFA, and I wanted to serve at that higher level above the chapter level. And so I ran for regional office, and then I ran for state office this past year. And so I've kind of grown over my FFA journey. It's been an experience. But every year and every new moment, every new experience, I've just been able to grow even more with every new contest, every new member that I meet. And so that's one way that I would describe how my journey has been over the years, is just the growth that I've had with every new experience.
Yeah, so you had just mentioned that you did serve on the Middle Tennessee Regional Officer team this past year. Would you want to share what it was like serving on that team last year?
Yeah. So I was the Middle Tennessee regional reporter, and so that was an awesome experience because I had never worked with very much social media before. I had my own social media accounts, but never nothing too serious. So I was able to dabble in that a little bit my senior year of high school, and so I ran the Instagram and the Facebook page, which was super fun. I was able to put together all those posts. I made a couple Instagram reels that I was really proud of. And so that was an awesome experience. But then again, I got to get close with my teammates, my five other teammates who were still really close today. And so it was just an amazing experience. It was a nice stepping stone from chapter office to state office to just kind of have that time to spend with my teammates and get more experience. And so it was great. I'm glad that I was able to do it and just get that new experience as a senior in high school.
Yeah. And eventually, about a month or so or two before you retired as a regional officer, you were selected to serve on the state officer team. So what process did you go through, like, to get selected as a Tennessee FFA state officer?
The process that I went through to get elected as a state officer, I, just like everybody else, I filled out an application in, I think it was due by February 1st. I could be wrong about that. But, and then I completed an interview process that consisted of a personal interview, an ag issues interview, group interview, and then I completed a letter writing exam and a knowledge exam. And so that all happened at state convention besides the application part. But for me personally, really the turning moment in running for state office was figuring out why I wanted to run for state office. And so that's advice that I always give candidates, is to know your why and to stick with your why, because that will guide you through the entire process. It is not for the weak. It takes a lot of work, a lot of late nights, a lot of studying, but if you just remember your why, then you'll get through it. And no matter the outcome, it is truly life-changing. No matter what happens that Wednesday morning, that process is life-changing. You grow as a person, you grow as a leader, you learn more about agriculture, but you also get to be friends with the other candidates. You meet amazing people along the way that will stay in your life for the rest of your life. So it's an amazing experience. It provides a lot of growth. But that's one thing that I will say is through the process, I was able to figure out my why, which has carried me not only through the process, but also through my state officer year as a whole.
Yeah, and then that Wednesday morning, you were able to hear your name be called to serve as the Tennessee FFA State Secretary, which is a pretty big position within Tennessee FFA. So, like, what could you say was, like, maybe going through your mind when you did hear your name called and when you were running down that aisle headed to the stage to meet your teammates?
Yeah. I would say beforehand, before my name was called, when they were calling Sentinel, Reporter, Treasurer, I was getting a little nervous. I was actually a lot of nervous, not a little. And to be honest, it was just kind of like a moment of panic because they got down to secretary and president, and you're kind of thinking in your head, you're like, okay, it can't be me. So a moment of panic, a lot of nervousness, but just the wave of relief when you hear your name being called is like nothing else. And so there's multiple angles of me running down the aisle, and all of them are awful. But just to see the pure excitement on my face, in my mind, I was thinking, I hope that they actually called my name, because in the moment you're being pushed out of line. And so I'm like, I hope that I'm the name that they actually called. And then the second thought you think is, I cannot believe that this is happening to me right now. And that is evident by just the pure excitement on not only my face, but all of our teammates' face. We talk about it all the time, about how we were just so in awe of that moment. And so throughout this year, whenever, you know, times get hard or things get busy or things might not be going my way, I take a look at that video and I take a look at the girl last year who was just so excited to run up on that stage, and that really gives you a breath of fresh air and reminds you why you do it.
Yeah, and then the second that you're up on that stage and y'all get installed as state officers, your year instantly begins. And about maybe 2-3 months later, you're at camp as a state officer. So would you want to walk through what your weeks of camp looked like this year while you were serving as a state officer?
Yeah, so I went weeks 1, 2, 3, and 6. So I did 3 weeks in a row, which was amazing. I wouldn't have had it any other way. I loved all 3 weeks that I went. Week one was definitely a learning curve. You have to learn how to do camp from a state officer's perspective and not a member's perspective. But that was the most fun that I've ever had, were the 4 weeks of camp that I did. And the thing about camp as a state officer especially is each week is different. I loved each week of camp that I did for a different reason. And so like week six, we had was a completely different experience than week one, because week six was 4th of July week and we were all able to dress up, and that's what made week six fun. But there were different things for different weeks. And so I remember week two, the thing that sticks out to me the most about week two was when we did our talent show skit, and it was Van down by the river. And I'll never forget picking up my teammate Eli and dropping him on the ground and everybody in the crowd just busting out laughing. And I'm trying not to bust out laughing myself. And so it's just amazing to see how different groups of people can gather for each week of camp, and you can love each week of camp for different reasons. And so I would go back in a heartbeat. Camp was probably my favorite part of my year, just because for a week you're able to get to know people from across the state, and you're able to spend a week with over 200 FFA members. And so you form those really deep connections and those bonds that last all year and even beyond your state officer year. So it's the time to make connections, and it's also a time to have fun. Camp is really fun as well.
I can definitely attest to that. Week three this year, I mean, those memories, those crazy memories to say the least that were made.
Yes.
I mean, getting up there and flat out falling on my back in a talent show skit was not in the bingo card for 2024, but
I remember that. That was awesome. And you know what? We stole that talent show skit for week six because we were like, that is so good, we have to do this.
I mean, whatever has to work.
Yeah.
It was definitely something fun. I know our chapter president approached us like at the beginning of May, and she was like, hey, we're going to do this at camp. Here's a script. And like a full on script. I was shocked, but it was definitely fun and definitely hopefully left a lasting impact.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So a few weeks later, after camp had wrapped up, you and your state officer team were able to go to the State Officer Summit in Washington, D.C. So would you want to walk through what you gained or what experiences you had at that summit?
Summit was an amazing experience, and I would say that it was, for me personally, I had already been to D.C. once. I had been for Washington Leadership Conference, and I had been the summer before. And so what I was most excited for, well, one of the things that I was most excited for about Summit was just being able to go back to D.C. and really take everything in, because it's a lot to see all the monuments, to see Capitol Hill. Especially as a state officer, we were able to see so much more than what I had seen the year before. And so I was so excited to be able to go back and just truly take it in, just because I had seen everything before, but now I could truly appreciate it. And so that was one aspect that I was really excited for. And you could ask any of my teammates. I was such a history buff on the way up there. Like, I could not stop talking about the different monuments and the different things. I was so excited to be back up there. But it was one of the best experiences that I've ever had with my teammates. It brought us so much closer. There was one time that we had to ride the Metro by ourselves. And so that was a team bonding experience in and of itself. We were also able to do some foundation training up there before Summit actually began. And we were able to host that in the House Ag Committee room, which was amazing. We were also able to meet with lawmakers, be on Capitol Hill. We were able to eat in the members' dining hall, which I never thought that we would do. And so there were a couple surprise guests on Capitol Hill while we were there. Bill Lee was there, and we got to meet some other people. So that goes down as one of my favorite experiences. We also got to go inside the White House, which was pretty cool. But as far as the summit part actually goes, we were able to meet with probably, I think, over 300 state officers from around the country. And so we were able to form those connections as well and those friendships, because, to be honest, being a state officer is a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and not very many people understand that experience unless you've been through it. And so being able to meet different state officers at Summit and being able to lean on each other throughout the year because we know what each other is going through, that was pretty special. But we were also able to hear from the national officers and participate in workshops, but also do some delegate stuff. So at National Convention, we're able to be delegates and represent Tennessee FFA. And so at Summit, Tennessee FFA proposed 3 delegate proposals. And so we were also able to have that voice on the national level, which was really cool to see our team come together and have these ideas and present them in front of everybody at Summit.
Yeah, and then moving on, I know you just mentioned that y'all were able to come up with some of the delegate proposals for the delegate sessions that y'all ultimately would be participating in a few months. So would you want to walk through what it was like serving as a delegate at the 97th National FFA Convention and Expo?
Yeah, for sure. So like I said before, at Summit, not each state officer, but there are multiple state officers or state staff or national staff who get up and do delegate proposals. And so this could be an idea that your team has or an issue that you see with a national FFA that you want to see solved. And so you get up there and you give your proposals, and then the national officer team ranks these proposals, and they can even throw in their own proposals if they want. And so the national officer team comes out with the 6 committees. And so thankfully, 2 of our proposals were able to turn into committees. So that was pretty cool to see at National Convention. There were 2 committees specifically designed for our proposals. So that was pretty awesome. So once we got it at National Convention, we were able to work a couple days before convention with our committees and come up with different ideas and different things. And so my committee specifically was on if the regions within National FFA needed to be relocated or if we needed to reevaluate them. So there's 4 regions, and we were discussing whether those needed to be reevaluated. And so that was a pretty interesting topic, not something that I knew a lot about. We also had middle school programs. That was one of them. And then one of the committees, we called it the party committee, was the 100th anniversary committee. So what is National FFA going to do for its 100th anniversary? And so just being able to serve on those committees and just get your ideas out there and to be able to work with fellow state officers and fellow delegates to really refine what we want to see happen with the National FFA, that was awesome. And then my teammate Skylar was able to serve as chairman as one of those committees. So she was able to go up on stage during the last session and be recognized. So it was an awesome experience. And part of being a state officer is being that voice for Tennessee FFA and being that voice for our members. And so that was one experience this year where we were really able to be that voice for our members.
Yeah, and it was so exciting. At one point I glanced up and y'all were on like the big screen thing. And it took me a second. I was like, wait. And then I had like glanced back and was like, yeah, that's the Tennessee folks.
We sat, that was also amazing. We sat front row the entire convention. So as delegates, we attend every session. So every session we were front row and you never knew when the camera was going to be on you. So you always, it was fun sitting front row, but you always had to be ready for that camera to cut to you.
Yeah. You never know what they're going to just, you know, when they're going to catch you, but
no, you really don't.
Yeah, so I guess a few weeks later, you guys were able to host Cultivate and Emerge. That's a big conference here for Tennessee FFA. So would you want to walk through what that weekend was like and what you and your team went through to plan that conference?
Yeah, so a few months earlier, actually in September, we were able to sit down and plan Cultivate and Emerge. And we had already come up with a theme, but we had to really hammer out the workshops that we wanted to do and just kind of the way that we wanted to take this year's conference. And so for months, we were able to work on those workshops and really get our scripts together. And then a few days before Cultivate and Emerge, we went and we decorated camp. We decorated the doors. We were able to get everything ready. We got the glow lights ready. And so Cultivate and Emerge was one of my favorite experiences throughout the year, because anytime that I get to gather at Camp Clements with my state officers, my state officer teammates, and other FFA members, I know that it's going to be a good time. And camp might not look the same as it does in the summer during the fall, but we still had an amazing experience. You were still able to get that camp vibe. And so I also feel like the workshops that we did were really impactful. Some of the workshops that I gave were some of my favorite throughout the year. And so it was so cool to see us come together as a team, make these impactful workshops, and then see it come to fruition at Cultivate and Emerge, and to see the members really take it in and learn something, but also have fun, because we're all about having fun. And so we had a glow dance on Friday night. And that was unlike any FFA dance that I've ever been to. It was one of the funnest things ever. We had glow sticks. We had glow-in-the-dark balloons. Our state director made us some glow-in-the-dark t-shirts for our team. And so it was really just a fun night where we could all just bond and to just be together at camp.
Yeah, I'll forever mourn the loss that I was not there. But it definitely looked like it was a very fun weekend to attend. So moving on to the next thing. So this past, well, now it's, it wasn't last month. Now it's been 2 months. Six of your state officer teammates were able to attend ILSSO. Would you want to walk through what those 2 weeks were like while y'all are able to attend that conference?
Yeah. So ILSSO stands for International Leadership Seminar for State Officers. And so every year, National FFA allows 75 state officers to travel out of country and to get that experience about what does agriculture look like in other countries, but also what does the culture look like in other countries. And so this year, like you said, me and six of my teammates were able to go to Spain and Portugal. And so for the majority of our time spent overseas, we were in Spain. And one of the things that really sticks out to me about Spain was their agriculture industry. It is so much different than America's. We toured beef cattle farms, dairy operations, and different things. And something that stuck out to me was just how much that they just don't use the technologies that we do. But when you think about it, Spain is the size of Texas, and I think that they have around 46 million is their population. And for us in the United States, I think we're over 360 million. So we have a lot more people to feed. So we have more of a need for technology. But when we would talk to farmers and ranchers over in Spain, they themselves, it wasn't the government, they themselves were against these new technologies just because that's what they've grown up believing. They were pretty conservative in that belief. But also the government is pretty conservative in that belief about new technologies, especially surrounding GMOs. And so we were able to talk to a lady who works for the USDA, but she's stationed in Madrid. And so she advocates on behalf of the USDA to the Spanish government. And so she was telling us about how she's had to explain what technologies actually are, what GMOs actually are, what they actually do within our agriculture industry, and kind of knock down some of those arguments that the Spanish government had about trading with us because we use these new technologies. And so that was pretty cool to see about how different governments interact with each other, especially over new technologies, and you use this antibiotic, so we're not going to buy your product. So that was pretty interesting. I would also say that the agriculture industry over there is not as processed as it is here. And so I never ate a meal where I felt bloated or I felt bad after I ate the meal. And so I think that also has to do with just how they have the lack of technology and they don't have to process their food as much as we may have to, just because their population isn't as much. But then we went to Portugal, and my favorite part about Portugal was Lisbon. It's the capital. We were able to spend 4 to 5 hours just exploring Lisbon. It was one of the most beautiful cities I've ever seen. Whenever you go to Europe, you feel like you're just being thrown back in time because their architecture is so much different than ours. And so it was just gorgeous. I loved the little shops. It wasn't as touristy as you would think. Madrid was pretty touristy, but not Lisbon. That was one of the most beautiful and just one of the best experiences that we had while overseas.
Yeah. So moving on to, I guess, something now that was almost, well, a few weeks ago now, you and your state officer team were able to go on y'all's Goodwill tour. And that was obviously in a week full of so many things. Would you want to walk through what y'all did that week across the state of Tennessee?
Yeah. So that week we went from Friday, I think it was. And so we started out at alumni convention. We were all together. And then we went to Sumner County. We also went to the Pick Tennessee Products conference as well. But then early in that week, we split up. And so 4 of us went east and then 4 of us went west. So I was on the east group. And so we were able to have a lot of fun. Obviously, we went and stopped at UT Knoxville. We went and stopped at the Herbert College of Agriculture. We got to tour some construction companies. I actually got to drive an excavator, which was my first time driving any heavy machinery like that. We were able to meet with multiple people who sponsor Tennessee FFA over there. And so it was just a great experience to be in East Tennessee. We visited some nurseries. We visited a nursery farm, but we also visited the Tennessee Nursery Association. And so that was pretty cool. But then we all met back up in the middle of the week. A couple of our stops were canceled due to the snow, but we were able to meet back up in Nashville and have our legislative breakfast where we had multiple legislators come out and support us. And then we were able to be recognized on the House floor. We went and did the RFD-TV interviews. We were able to meet with TVA or the Tennessee Valley Authority, Farm Bureau, Co-op. There were just so many sponsors that we were able to go see and interact with. And so that's just a week where we as a team and us as Tennessee FFA members are really just truly able to appreciate the support that Tennessee FFA has. You don't realize how many people actually sponsor our association until you take a look at this list of sponsors, or until you see state officers go on the Goodwill Tour, or you go on the Goodwill Tour yourself. It's just amazing to see how many people actually believe in the future of Tennessee agriculture and how many people are putting their time and effort towards it. So that was probably my favorite part of the week, was just seeing how much support we actually have.
Yeah, and now the state officer year for you guys is unfortunately coming to a close. And I mean, less than 20 days now, Yeah, less than 20 days now, the gavel will drop for the 97th Tennessee FFA State Convention. So what are you looking forward to most with this state convention that's coming up?
Something that I'm looking forward to the most is being able to experience convention from a different angle. So for 4 years, I was able to experience it from a member's perspective and an attendee's perspective. And now it has just been so cool to see the behind the scenes, the scripts, the sessions, the RAs, just seeing everything come together, but also everything that we've done this year as a team. When we first met for base camp back in April, we came up with our convention theme then. So we knew what our convention theme was going to be. We knew what our Cultivate and Emerge theme was going to be, and we knew what our camp theme was going to be. And so everything this year has led up to this. It has led up to this convention. We've had this planned. This is what it's all about. This is what it's come down to. And so it's just so amazing to see everything that we've worked towards this year, not only as a team, but as an association. Each member has worked towards this moment and this convention and being able to be together in Gatlinburg. That is my favorite part, is seeing all the hard work that not only my team did, but the members of Tennessee FFA did pay off. I'm also excited to see my teammates give their retiring addresses. When you're elected, you get 7 new best friends. You get 7 new people to lean on throughout the year. And so I'm excited to watch them do convention as well, to watch them give their inspiring RAs. But I'm also excited to see growth within members, whether that's the state officer candidates for those who get elected, or maybe that's just a member attending their first convention. I hope that this convention has an impact on everybody who attends, because that's what we've been working towards all year.
I can definitely feel the impact already, and I know we're still almost 20 weeks, or not 20 weeks, 20 days away. It's definitely going to be a great convention, and I'm really looking forward to it, and I know so many other people across the state are. So shifting focuses a little bit more towards UT Martin, because I know you did mention that you are in the UT Martin Ag Ed program, and I know how great that program is. Love all the things about it. So would you want to share a little bit about the agricultural education program up there at Martin?
Yeah, for sure. So I started actually looking at the ag education program here since I was a freshman in high school. I remember sitting down with Dr. Bird one morning for breakfast at my first state convention. And I remember him trying to convince me to, not convince me, but talk with me about Martin. And I knew right then that Martin was a welcoming place, that Dr. Bird was unlike any professor that I'd ever met. He truly cares about each and every one of his students. But that can be said for the agricultural program here as a whole. Each professor truly cares about their students, and it's partially because this is such a small campus compared to other campuses, but it's also just because the faculty, they truly do care about you and your success in college and also outside of college. And so the reason I chose Martin is because of its hometown feel. I grew up in a small town, under 1,000 people, no red light, and so this felt more like home for me. And so that's one reason why I chose it. But I also chose it just because of how great the staff is, how great Dr. Bird is, and how great the Ag Ed program is. I'm taking a class right now. It's called Ag Ed 200. And so it's a new program. I think it was, or a new class. I think it was introduced last year. But this is for freshmen and sophomores and sometimes juniors. To really get out into the field and see if this is actually what you want to do with your career. So we're able to go out and observe teachers and observe these really great professionals and just figure out, is this what I really want to do? And if so, what are the steps that I need to take to get there? And so no other Ag Ed program in the state offers those kind of opportunities. And so it's great to be at UT Martin. It's great to be in the agricultural education program just because the faculty truly cares about their students, and there are so many opportunities for growth within your career.
Yeah, and another thing that you were able to do with UT Martin was Governor's School, I believe in, what, 2023?
Yes.
Would you want to walk through what that month was like as a, I guess you could say, student at that program?
Yeah, so that was an amazing experience. I was super nervous at first to go into the program because you're staying a month at a campus that you're not familiar with yet, and you're staying with 35 other people who you may have met yet, but it was probably brief, and most of the people you just don't know. And so you get a random roommate, you're staying in a dorm that you're not familiar with, you don't see your parents for 2 weeks, and then they come on family weekend, and then you don't see them for another 2 weeks, which, while you're still in high school, that's a pretty long time. And so it was a pretty scary experience for me just because I used to be such a homebody, especially when I was in high school. But that program allowed me to grow so much as a person because you have to learn how to work with 35 of your peers. You have to learn how to live on your own. You have to learn how to take classes seriously. You have to learn to stay on top of your work. But also, it was such a fun experience because we were able to go out. I took the vet science group study project, and so I was able to go out every day and experience different things in the vet industry. And so some of my favorite moments from Gov School was in my group study project. And so it was an amazing experience. I would recommend it to any high schooler that is interested in the agriculture field in general, just because it gets you outside of your comfort zone, but you're also able to learn so much about the industry.
Yeah, that's one thing that I know so many people are really excited about this upcoming year. And yeah, I mean, June 1st is going to be quickly approaching for the next group. So I do have one more question that I like to ask it like towards the end of a podcast episode, because I don't remember how I usually put it, but somebody's more, I guess they're going to hear or remember something that they hear more recently. So I wanted to ask, what is one piece of advice that you would give either to an FFA member or a student that is hesitant to get involved in FFA?
Advice that I would give to somebody who is just starting out in their FFA career or they're hesitant to get involved in FFA is, I would say that I've been there too. I was hesitant. I surprisingly was not planning on being involved very much in FFA when I went into high school. I thought that I wanted to do something completely different with my life, even though I didn't know what it was yet. And so advice that I would give is to give it a chance. And that's for everything in life. Give it a chance. And that's especially true for FFA, because had I never given this organization a chance, I would not be where I am today. I would not be the person I am today. So you just never know. And a lot of people have a lot of stereotypes, or they have a lot of preconceived notions about what FFA is and what we do in FFA, but it might sound a little cliche, but there truly is a place for everybody in FFA. We have a contest, we have an event, we have things that are for everybody that everybody will enjoy. And so just give it a chance, because it could truly change your life just like it changed mine. Even if you don't plan on being involved in agriculture, there are so many people that I know that got involved in FFA, are not involved in the agriculture industry, but still gained something from their time in FFA, and it changed their life for the better. So that's one thing that I would say is give it a chance and see where it goes, because I think that you'll be pleased with the results.
Definitely. And yeah, so unfortunately that is all the questions that I have like set aside for this episode. So do you have any closing remarks or anything that you'd like to give before we end this episode?
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on this podcast. I truly think that this is great to interview different people within FFA and interview different people within the agriculture industry, just to get different perspectives and to inform people about the agriculture industry, the importance of FFA, but also just in my case, just to relate to members, or to, you know, inspire them, or to answer some questions that some people may be having. And so this is a really great platform, and I'm super excited that I was able to be on it.
Of course. So thank you again. I greatly enjoyed being able to have you on this episode. And yeah, so thank y'all for listening to this episode of the podcast. I will see y'all back next Monday.